in and they were all done and they had checked. First reading today comes from Revelation. And just a fun fact to know and tell, just to help you be increase your biblical literacy, it's Revelation. Just the one. Revelation. No S. So it's the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. Just want you to know that. If you hear anybody say the book of Revelations, you can just pray for them. But this is the book of Revelation. It's on page 258 in your Pew Bible in the New Testament section. A lot of the portion of Revelation that takes place in heaven, I feel very certain that it is all a song. So this is Revelation 19, beginning at the sixth verse. Listen now for a word from God. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty thunder peals, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. To her it has been granted to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We do continue reading the Psalms during this season of stewardship. Praise the Lord, from whom all blessings flow. And so today we look at Psalm 150, which, while it is the last psalm in the book of Psalms, is not the last one we'll do together. And we'll keep up with our tradition of reading these responsively. So you'll want to find Psalm 150. I left my bulletin over there. What page is it on? 583. It's on page 583 of the Old Testament. Thank you. This responsively. You can read the even verses and I will be odd. Listen now for a word from God that comes to us from the Psalms. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with clanging cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When we moved in, the guy, you know, with all the people moved the boxes into the house, and once it was all the boxes against their list, I walked out with the lead guy out to the truck and kind of had a weird moment. He turned to me and he said, "Have you ever lived in Florida before?" And I said, "No," because I didn't want to go into the whole, "I was born in Eglin Air Force Base," and blah, blah, blah. So I just said, "No." He said, "Well, there are these caterpillars that fall out of the trees sometimes, and if they fall on your skin, it'll sting you, and you'll feel like you want to go to the emergency room because it hurts so bad, but don't go. Good luck." And he got in the truck and drove away. I'm starting to think about if I need to, you know, buy protective gear or wear a helmet or something. About a month ago, we had a guy to our house spraying for pests because of the amazing fauna that live in Florida. And so we said, you know, he's all done. And he's also walking out to the truck. And I also had a weird moment. He said, "Well, things look pretty good. You've got a black racer snake and two wolf spiders. I left them. Have a good day." So it's like, I've got stinging caterpillars that could fall on me at any moment. I have two wolf spiders, not one, but two. Both, I'm sure, are either pregnant or one of them is teeming with thousands of babies. I have a deadly, I'm sure, poisonous black racer snake in my yard that hasn't eaten for days. And then, to make matters even worse, I heard this noise from the front of my yard, this terrible noise. It's not as bad as that. Don't worry. There's a video clip of this sound. I know you'll know it, but I had never heard this sound before. Go ahead, Oliver. Play the funny video clip there. What is that? So I'm in the backyard. I didn't know if the dog, something had happened to the dog. I didn't know if there was a woodwind player having a stroke. I didn't know what it was. I'm trying to figure out, where have I moved? I've got stinging caterpillars. I've got pregnant wolf spiders prowling. I have these serpents, and then there are these large birds in the neighborhood, no doubt looking for meat. What's going on? This weirdness and this wildness in the world in which I find myself. And it reminded me of being a little kid in Ohio in the summertime. I was playing in the backyard. I was probably 7 or 8. And I was kicking the soccer ball around against my favorite maple tree. And I noticed a brown spot on the tree. And I walked a little closer, and it looked like a brown bug. And I walked even closer, and it looked translucent. And as I got right up on it, I realized it was the shell of a bug. So I picked it up, and I looked at it really closely, and it had a little split in the back, like a zipper, like this bug had unzipped its shell and crawled out. So I went inside to show my parents, and one of them, I'm not sure which one, said, "Take that thing out of here." The other one said, "That's a cicada. Go look that up in your room." So I went to my room and got out my trusty world books. Don't know if they make those anymore, but got that out and looked it up. And sure enough, these cicadas live in the ground for up to 17 years, just downtown underground. And then when it's the right time, they burrow out and they crawl up a tree. And then they unzip their shell and spread their little cicada wings and go off to the cicada prom where they meet Mr. or Mrs. Wright. This wonder and this weirdness. 1,500 years ago, a theologian living in Cappadocia wrote these words about the cicada. And this should appear on our screen. He wrote, "Who puts a sounding board in the cicada's chest with the chirping songs it makes in the branches? Whenever the sun sets them going, they make midday music, stirring the groves and giving the traveler an escort of sound." Who puts the timbrels in the cicada's chest? Who creates a caterpillar with protection so that even a creature who could think to design an iPhone would not want to touch it? Who creates a spider that can carry her young with her without using any of her legs? Who could do that but the Lord our God, creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who breathes into us so that we might in every breath praise the Lord? As Don said, Psalm 150 is a little bit like the other psalms that we've read. Psalms 146 through 150 all start with the phrase, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." So they're sort of the capstone to the book of Psalms, put there very intentionally. And Psalm 150 says praise so much. It's interesting. It's sort of, I'm starting to think of Psalm 150 like the journalist's psalm. because it answers a lot of questions. I don't know if you noticed this. It answers who. Who should we praise? We praise the Lord. Why should we praise the Lord? For His mighty deeds, for His surpassing greatness. Well, how should we praise the Lord? And it tells us, with trumpet, with lute and harp, with tambourine and dance, strings and pipe, cymbals, lots and lots of cymbals. And what should praise the Lord? Everything that breathes. There are 13 mentions of the word praise. Praise happens 13 times. 12 of them are imperative. You praise the Lord. You praise the Lord for His surpassing greatness. And as the word praise keeps happening, it keeps building. The sentences get just a little bit longer each time. So there's tension created. Praise, praise, praise. And just when we feel like we're going to run out of air, the verb tenses switch. And it's like the air rushes into our lungs and it says, let every breathing thing praise the Lord. Let every breathing thing that breathes because of the breath of life. Let every breathing thing that breathes because of the breath, the Spirit of God within it. Let every breathing thing praise the Lord. And how? How do these creatures praise the Lord? How does the sandhill crane praise the Lord? I guess by making that noise. How does the black racer praise the Lord? I pray by getting worse stuff out of my yard. How does the cicada praise the Lord? Now here's our moment for biblical puns, okay? Ready for this? You'll be sorry you were. The cicada praises the Lord with clanging timbrels. That's a laugh from somebody who understands bugs. Praise Him with loud clashing timbrels. It's not a good pun, but it's there. We'll edit that out later. And so we praise the Lord with music. We praise the Lord through song. Music is so important to what we do in worship, as you heard this morning. Music is so important, not just for our spiritual life, but for our lives as human beings. I remember I found out that I could join the school band in fifth grade. And I was so psyched because I wanted to be a drummer. And my mom said, oh, no, we're putting something in that mouth. Which, still a bit sore about that. But my dad had an old clarinet. And so even though I do not have the temperament of a clarinet player, I was put into the clarinet section. Which, as I look back, sort of explains why I was always third chair. Never rehearsed, you know, sort of like Ferris Bueller. Not one lesson. So there I was as a clarinet player. And, you know, by the time eighth grade rolled around, I'd played for 3 years. I wasn't that great, but I was, you know, moving up and I was making better mistakes, I guess. And there I was, I was playing, and we were getting ready for a concert. You know, Mr. Pryor's concert band, second period, we're getting ready for a concert and getting close. The piece is almost there. And I listened to the part I'm playing, third clarinet, and I could listen to the second clarinet players and the first. I could hear the section. And as I listened, I could hear the woodwinds. I could hear all of them. And I could hear the brass. And I could hear the melody and the harmony. I could feel the rhythm of the drums behind me. And in a moment, I could hear everything happening at once. I was so overwhelmed, I couldn't play. I just had to take a deep breath. I had to breathe in and breathe out. And I was praising the Lord. I was praising the Lord for music, and I was praising the Lord through music, with each breath, praising the Lord. I've had another thing that's been amazing being here with you all, aside from the flora and fauna of Florida, working with the officers, working with the elders on Sunday afternoons. We've been doing elder training from from 2 to 4, and it's been really, really enjoyable. I think they've liked it, but I've liked it 10 times as much. And we've been talking about our Reformed tradition, talking about the things that are essential for us. And there's one last slide I want to show you. It's a quote from our Book of Order. You know, the poor Book of Order doesn't get quoted very much, so I feel a little bit bad for it. It's sort of last pick for kickball, but this is a quote about stewardship. And what, you don't have it? Well, let's see what's in Mike McCormack's memory, all right? That's good. So the quote goes a little something like this, that it's a theme of our tradition to have a faithful stewardship that shuns ostentation. You got it? And seeks, well, now I've given up on it. That shuns ostentation and it seeks proper use of God's good creation. How was that? Pretty close? Great. So the idea is that being Presbyterian, we are stewards of God's creation. So just like the stewardship question for us is how can I offer more of what I am and what I have and what I do to, how can I offer more of that to God, to my congregation, and to my neighbor? I want to add another little piece. How can I offer more of who I am and what I have and what I do to my neighborhood? I want to include place because place is so important. We want to figure out how each of us and all of us can have a stewardship of creation. Now, we may not all want to run off and join the Sierra Club. I'm not suggesting that. But I want us to figure out how can we have a stewardship of place where we are not living like renters, right? We don't want to treat the earth like we're renters. Ah, it's a rental. Don't worry. We'll get our deposit back. That's not what we want to do. We want to figure out, can we, you know, if we're driving along and park the car in the Walgreens parking lot and go out to get our photos, if we still print photos, we see a plastic bottle. Could we have the kind of stewardship where we pick that bottle up and maybe think about recycling it? Is that where we are? You know, we don't have to wear Save the Manatee t-shirts, but maybe each of us can find a way to hear and sense the harmony of creation and sense how the stinging caterpillar and the wolf spider and the black racer and those noisy sandhill cranes and you and I are all breathing in the same breath of life. And somehow we can praise God for this stewardship of creation. That's my hope and my prayer for us. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we give you thanks for the earth, our home, for your creation of it. And we thank you that in each breath we can praise you every day, Monday morning as well as Sunday at noon. Help us to figure out in our own lives what stewardship of creation might mean, and how we can sense the harmony of the spheres, how we can sense the connection between all living things and our place in it. Help us to do that today and tomorrow and forever. Amen.